I want to try to explain to you one of the ways that this incredible thing can happen, which changed the world forever. The fact that Alice and Bob can actually communicate through a completely open channel that everybody can hear and wind up agreeing on what the key is going to be that they're going to use for encryption without having anybody else know what that key is. Okay. So this is one of these things where if you go back and read Shannon's paper or, you know, any of the best scientists who worked on cryptography until this happened in 1970, this invention was made, people would have just said, that can't be. And so, you know, it's not like anybody ever tried to do it. They just wouldn't have understood that it was even an imaginable outcome. You know, for Ken and me to shout things back and forth to each other that all of you can hear, that results in each of us knowing in our head exactly the same string of letters or digits or whatever, as, you know, sharing the same one and none of you able to figure out what it was, even if you knew exactly what algorithms we were using to do the computations. So let's, you know, so how do we get, so let's remember what the problem is. We've got a sender will now use a credit card number. That a sender uses a key to produce a ciphertext using, say, the advanced encryption standard, one of these things, and the receiver gets it and manages to decrypt it. There's a key, Buck's key. There's the key. Receiver has the same key and gets the credit card number on the other hand. So here we've got Alice, and Amazon is Bob, let's say. And, you know, Alice doesn't want to use postal mail or a trip to Seattle or any of the other methods to go to Amazon to get the key. She wants to use the internet, which is an open network. Right? Every packet, you know, she certainly doesn't want to trust Verizon or any of the service providers between her and Amazon who might look at the packets that she's shipping and trust that they will keep them secret. So here's Alice. There's Bob. We've got some identity thief or credit card thief. That's our friend Eve, the evil eavesdropper. And she is listening in on the internet. She is sniffing the internet packets as they go through and trying to figure out what Alice's credit card number is and how do we make sure that the keys can be, that Alice and Bob can have the key without ever meeting. So here are the heroes of this story, Whit Diffie and Martin Hellman. You can read about them in the book. The paper was published in 1976. Turned out, although they're given the principal credit for it, it's probably true that the same discovery had been made by these two gentlemen who were serving in British intelligence a couple of years earlier, but they couldn't talk about it. And they couldn't talk about it even for long after it became published and was, you know, published in the general publication. So we try to give credit to Clifford Cox and Malcolm Williams for this discovery as well. So here's how they work this out. Here's how Alice and Bob can agree on a secret key through public messages. Okay? There are a couple of different schemes for doing this. This is the original Diffie-Hellman method. So Alice is going to have a number that's her secret number. She's just going to make it up. On a computer, she can generate it using a random number generator or something like that. So this is a number maybe of a few hundred digits long. You've got to imagine this as being a number that's, you know, longer than two or three digits, but a few hundred digits would be nothing on a, you know, laptop computer. Bob has his own secret number. And neither one of them tells anybody else their secret numbers. Alice and Bob then engage in a public communication, not of their secret numbers, of course, but of something else. And through what they tell each other, they do some calculations using also their secret numbers, and they wind up with the same number. And they're the only ones who know that shared number is going to be their key. And the only way to calculate that number is to know Alice's secret number or Bob's secret number. But she hasn't told anybody else that. She's kept it secret. That's the general protocol. So Alice and Bob each think of a secret number. They're then going to do something with that number and communicate that publicly, and to the other party in particular. And the other party is going to, they're each going to then do some computation, and they're going to wind up with the same key. Okay, so now here's the first sort of concept you need. You need this notion of a one-way computation. This is something that's easy to compute but hard to do backwards. And the sort of canonical example is, here are two 10-digit numbers. What's their product? Well, this might actually, for a human being, it might seem a little hard. It's 100 digit by digit multiplications, and then, some additions. You could do it in an hour. You might not get it right, but if you could do, if you were, and it can be, computer, this can be done in an extremely short amount of time. But if you gave the product, which happens to be this, I believe, I think this actually is the product of those two numbers, this 20-digit number, and I gave it to you and asked you what the two factors are, what two numbers you have to multiply together to get this result, there's very hard to do this by any other way except seeing if it's divisible by 2 and seeing if it's divisible by 3 and seeing if it's divisible by 4. Well, you can just, you don't need to try all the numbers. You can, you don't need to only use the prime numbers. But to go backwards from this to this is very much harder than it is to get from those two factors to compute this product. Okay? By any method that we now know. And I don't know, I may have picked a simple example here. If these were two prime numbers, okay, and this were their product, to go backwards from the product to the two prime numbers really would require an exhaustive search through about how many different numbers? Well, these are 10-digit numbers, right? So there are 10 to the 10th of them that you'd have to try. 10 to the 10th is 10 billion. That's a lot to try. And if these were numbers of, say, 500 digits each, there would be too many. The amount of time it would take you to go backward from a 1,000-digit number to its two 500-digit factors would be beyond the capability of exhaustive search using the computers that are available today in reasonable amounts of time. Okay? So this is the sort of basic idea. The one-way computation is not actually multiplication and division. But there are computations that, as far as we can tell, take a lot less time to do than to undo. So that's why they're called one-way.